Let's read together now Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. In these verses, the danger of religious legalism is warned against, and it's exposed for what it really is, a distortion of the Christian faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In him, that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Once again, let's consider some background notes. We know that Paul is warning the Colossians throughout this letter about the dangers of being taken in by the false teaching. Paul is not so much worried about them totally capitulating to the false teaching. He's primarily concerned that no element whatsoever of the false teaching creep in or be mixed in with the truth, and thus the Colossians would settle for a diluted and distorted brand of Christianity. One of the possible distortions that could take place by mixing in elements of the false teaching, one of those possible distortions was legalism. What's legalism anyway? Legalism is the ism that makes keeping a list of rules your number one priority. The religious legalist not only runs his own life by his set of rules, he also tries to run everybody else's life, or at least judge them by his set of rules. In the particular brand of false teaching that was around Colossae, which was this mixture of Judaism and what later became known as Gnosticism, there was definitely the danger of legalism if any of these elements were mixed in. Judaism in particular put a great emphasis on the Old Testament laws and rituals. Well, to mix any of this in with Christianity was wrong and would result in a distortion of the Christian faith. So this passage, verses 11 through 17 of Colossians 2, refutes legalism then and now. Let's look at a doctrinal point from this passage about legalism. Legalism is a distortion of biblical Christianity. That's what the Bible is teaching here. Legalism usually looks good because the legalist generally appears more religious than the non-legalist. Remember the scribes and Pharisees? They were the legalists in our Lord's day. They looked a lot more spiritual than the run-of-the-mill person at that time. These scribes and Pharisees, legalistically, meticulously, keeping all their rules. They even thought it brought salvation. That's the worst form of legalism, by the way. Thinking that through keeping rules, doing works, you make it with God. You get salvation. I trust there's no one here this morning in that camp that you're thinking by keeping your list of rules, you're getting salvation. That's the worst form of legalism. Totally against what the Bible teaches. Only one way. Through faith in Christ. But maybe there's some Christian legalists here this morning. That is, you think you're more spiritual than other believers because you keep a certain list of do's and don'ts, and other believers don't measure up to your list. Well, that's legalism. Now, this passage of scripture that we've just read shows us why legalism is wrong, shows us why legalism is a distortion of biblical Christianity. The conclusion is in verses 16 and 17. The argument is in verses 11 through 15. Let's look at the conclusion once again. Verses 16 and 17. Therefore, in view of the argument, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. These dietary laws of the Old Testament and the feasts and the special days of the Old Testament were but a shadow of things to come. They all pointed forward to Christ. But Christ has come. High noon is here. No more shadow. And therefore, don't set up this list of rules. To make verse 16 a little more contemporary for today, let's put it this way. Don't let anyone judge you in reference to what translation of the Bible you should read, or what kind of Christian music you should listen to, or what kind of clothes you should wear on Sunday morning, or whether you should watch a football game on Sunday afternoon. Don't let people judge you in those areas. To set up a list of do's and don'ts like that is legalism. We're not talking about what you prefer to do, what you believe would be honoring to God, but if you set that up as your list of what makes you spiritual or judge others as to their spirituality on the basis of your list, that's legalism. Now, verses 11 through 15 gives you the argument as to why legalism is a distortion of biblical Christianity. 3 points are mentioned here. Legalism forgets our position in Christ, verses 11 through 13. Legalism forgets the law ended with Christ, verse 14. And legalism forgets the enemy was conquered by Christ, verse 15. First of all, then, legalism forgets our position in Christ, verses 11 through 13. What is our position in Christ? Well, as we see here, God considers us as having died with Christ, been buried with Christ, raised with Christ. When we died with Christ, our sin nature was cut off positionally. That's what this part about circumcision is all about. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Physical circumcision in the Old Testament was a physical cutting off of the flesh. That was a picture of spiritual circumcision, the circumcision made without hands. In spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of Christ, as we see here, our sinful natures were cut off. Not literally, we still sin, but positionally. Positionally, we have died with Christ. We've been buried with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Our baptism pictures this. This is one reason why I believe verse 12 certainly would indicate baptism by immersion is the mode of baptism which best pictures this truth. Our position in Christ, that we've died with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. Question, does the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ have to keep the law or keep a bunch of rules? Of course not, you say. Well, that's the argument. We're identified with Christ. Positionally, we're in Christ. If we start keeping a bunch of rules as to the measure of our spirituality or someone else's, we're legalists because we've forgotten our position in Christ. Secondly, legalism forgets that the law ended in Christ. Verse 14, when you're in debt, usually there's a certificate of debt, or as this translation puts it, a handwriting of requirements or ordinances. Certificate of debt, IOU, that idea. That's what the law was to us. Someone had to pay the debt. We did or someone else. Our Lord Jesus kept the law perfectly, so he could pay the debt. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, God took that certificate of debt and nailed it to the cross. That was the custom in those days, to take the charge and nail it to the cross. Well, do you see what God is telling us here in verse 14? The certificate of debt, the IOU, has been nailed to the cross. That's why verse 14 says, having nailed it, not nailed Christ, nailed it, the certificate of debt. The law has ended in Christ. We're free now. But the legalist forgets this. The legalist forgets that the law ended in Christ. Now watch out that you don't slip into this unintentionally. If you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your goal now in life, your aim now in life is not to try to keep the Ten Commandments with all your might. That's not your goal. That's not your aim. You could very easily get into legalism there. Your goal, your aim as a Christian is to fall more in love with Christ, to follow Christ, to love him. And you'll do more in keeping the Ten Commandments and keeping the law with that focus, with that aim, with that goal than you ever could do if you tried with all your might in your own flesh to keep the law. Trying to keep the law, even as a Christian, you see, is very close to getting into legalism. Legalism forgets that the law ended in Christ. And thirdly, Legalism forgets that the enemy was conquered by Christ. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The picture here is of a Roman triumph, a victory procession. When a Roman general was triumphant in victory, there would be a victory procession. The captives would be led, disarmed, stripped, made a public spectacle in this victory procession of the victor, of the Roman general. In the same way, you see, when Christ won the victory at the cross, the evil principalities and powers were conquered, and they've been openly made a public spectacle. Christ has conquered them. Now, how does this tie into legalism? Well, there's no doubt these evil powers are involved in religious legalism. They're conquered, but they're still in operation, principalities and powers, certainly in the matter of legalism. In 1 Timothy 4, for example, 1 Timothy 4, we read about doctrines of demons. And one of those doctrines there is to abstain from certain foods, legalistically. So both in Judaism and in Gnosticism, there was this aspect of legalism, and it still operates today. Legalism forgets that the enemy was conquered by Christ. Maybe we could apply it this way or get across the point this way. Would you, as a Christian, take row 13 in an airplane? Why, as a Christian, wouldn't you sit in row 13 or have an office on floor 13 or something like that? Is it because you're superstitious? Well, what's behind superstition? Is it somehow this idea that you're appeasing the spirit world out there? That's a form of legalism, keeping a certain bunch of rules, you see. Legalism forgets that the enemy, all the principalities and powers, they were conquered in Christ. Legalism is a distortion of biblical Christianity because it forgets our position in Christ, because it forgets the law ended in Christ, because it forgets that the enemy was conquered by Christ. All right, now, practical application. Let's not get hung up with legalism. Let's not get hung up with legalism. Any form of running your life by a list of do's and don'ts rather than from a burning love for Christ is legalism. Now, we're not talking here about the do's and don'ts of Scripture. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Those are clear. What we're talking about here is the non-moral issues that the Bible is not clear about. Areas where we can use our Christian liberty. How much makeup should a woman use? What kind of clothes are appropriate for Sunday? What translation of the Bible do you use? What kind of Christian music do you enjoy? How about TV, theater, all of these areas? Now, again, we're not talking about taste or preference. There certainly is a place for the proper use of your Christian liberty as well. You want to exercise your Christian liberty in such a way that you don't offend and stumble weaker Christians. But Romans 14, good chapter to read here in this connection. Romans 14 indicates that we're not to judge other believers who see it differently in the non-moral areas. Let's not begin to think we're spiritual if we keep our list of do's and don'ts. And let's not judge the spirituality of another believer by our list of do's and don'ts. Let's not get hung up with legalism.